And verse number 14, Ephesians chapter number 3, and I'll begin again in verse 14. Christ's amazing love. And so, again, this is the last time we'll be dealing with this subject, at least in this capacity, from this passage. And so we finally look at some of the final thoughts here in this great text. And I've been encouraged greatly time and again. I trust that you have found encouragement and strength from this passage. That is our prayer. God's word always meets our needs. Amen. His word always, always, always meets our needs. And so we're so thankful, so thankful to him for seeing fit to look into our lives and to visit us so generously and to once again meet our needs from his precious word. You're in Ephesians. Let's begin again in verse number 14, please. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Would you please pray with me? Father, we are grateful for this august occasion. We have come for the purpose of celebrating you, worshiping you, opening our hearts unto you, putting ourselves back on the altar afresh to make new sacrifices of ourselves, from ourselves, unto you. We see you as deserving. We see this as one of the very reasons we exist, to honor and to praise and to glorify you. And so, Father, thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. Thank you for those who were part of the worship service and gave us the freedom to just celebrate you and how wonderful you are. Father, thank you for the dynamics and the energy and the intrigue that came in Sunday school. How blessed each of us were to partake of your word again and see it communicated so excellently to us. Thank you for that. And Father, as we look at this passage one more time, I pray that you would give us what we need. I pray that you would not only instruct us, but inspire us. Father, there are parts of this passage that are a little bit scary. We are intimidated by it. There's a tendency in all of us, Father, to draw back from it to what is familiar. But God, help us by your grace to go on and see you do excellent things in and with and through our lives. Father, give us faith. Give us courage. Give us a sense that we are your representatives. Glorify yourself now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ's amazing love. You have witnessed in this passage that Christ avails to us the great, incredible power of God communicated directly through the person of the Spirit of God, that you and I may be adept and well exercised in the love of God towards each other, towards this New Testament church. And my, how we have been, to some degree, living expressions of His grace, living expressions of Christ indwelling us and giving us such ability. We have become and we continue to be genuine and continuous witnesses of what God can do in a life. And I celebrate with you. I thank and praise the Lord with you for your love for Him and your love for each other. And it's, again, that we are challenged from this text to allow the Spirit of God to give not only birth to, but to advance us in understanding this thing called the love of Christ, this amazing love of Christ in you and in me. We have said that positionally, we are one new man. As a New Testament church, you can say that. We are one new man. Positionally, that is absolutely correct. You can claim that. You can say that. Experientially, it is okay to say as well, I have some growing to do. I have a ways to go yet. In my experience with other saints, I have a little ways to go. And we talked a little bit about the preparation for Christ's love. We talked about prayer. Paul said, for this cause I bow my knee. He talked about that. And he talked about each of us whom the Father has called His children, and therefore the Father sets Himself forth as having a name, a name. And this describes that distinct characteristic of God. And we ventured to show you, at least in one place, maybe even a couple of places, one of those very distinct characteristics of the Lord, and it was His love. We took you to several passages to show you that. We are to share this same basic characteristic as children of God. We also gave you not only a prayer, but we gave you a purpose. We talked about this dynamic of the Spirit of God giving birth and giving rise to, I should say, more specifically, more particularly, that giving rise to this idea that God's power can be manifested in our lives through the power of Jesus Christ, the power of His love. We become people who can function on the level of literally God's love manifesting itself through us. And that's an incredible purpose. How many of us got out of the bed this morning saying, today is another day where God's purpose will be manifested through me? We're not doing too good with that. It's okay. Some days we think that our purpose is let me put it another way. I was in a meeting once, and part of this meeting was for a person to share their story in their presentation. They came to the point in their presentation where they articulated why, their why they do what they do. And they immediately pointed to their family. They said, I get up in the morning, I do what I do, I'm doing this, I'm giving this presentation because of my daughter, my son, my husband, my wife. I'm not going to disclose who that is, right? You got it? So they basically articulated that they do what they do for the people in their lives. That was their why. Okay? But why do what we do as Christian children? As people of God, why? What's our why? Okay, it's good to do it for our family, but there has to be something that rises above that, right? There has to be something that, if God forbid that it should ever happen, but if all of your family goes away, would you stop serving God? Would you stop living for His glory? Or would that become even more so the reason why you do the things you do? Purpose. Purpose. That's what we're talking about here. Purpose. I do what I do to please God and God first and foremost. That needs to be uppermost in every single one of our minds, right? Amen. And we talked about the praise, the purpose and the praise. Verse 21 says, unto him be glory in the church. Amen. God receives and deserves all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. That's the reason why we exist, right? Yeah. So we talked a little bit about preparation for Christ's love. Now, I need to go further today. Aren't you glad we get to go further? Yay! And I need to look very quickly at the power of God. One more time. I've covered this, but it is in verse number 16 again. That the word, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We talked about this some to some degree as we set the stage for this series. But let me quickly say that in this we see being fortified, we see a force, and we see focus, right? Strengthen. That is indeed being fortified by God. Strengthen. You see the word used there in your text. Strengthen with what then? Strengthen with might. And we talked about this being the very power of God, the very power of the Spirit of God, strengthening every child of God so that we bear a certain kind of fruit. Not just any fruit. Not just anything manifesting itself from our lives, but a certain fruit. And we looked at it and we thought about it and we said that the fruit of the Spirit is love first. This multifaceted fruit of God is love first. And the thing that God wants to see graduate and grow and reach the next level in each of our lives is this thing called love, right? So we talked about fortified, the force, strengthened with might, Spirit of God. Forgive me for referring to it that way. The Spirit of God is a person. He's not merely a force. And then focus, focus. We said that this energy, this is to be channeled into a certain place, the inner man, the inner man, the inner man. We said that. We said that this inner man refers to your and my spiritual man, our spiritual content, our spiritual person, the you that came alive when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right? Aren't you glad that God didn't save you and then left you there? He wants us to grow and graduate in that capacity as well. Grow spiritually. And we talked about that spiritual part of us being renewed and strengthened by God, that the power of God might be more manifested in us, right? But we said this is focused in on the inner man. So we saw the fortified force and focus. Now, let me move into new territory for the very first time. And you say amen, right? Amen. Go ahead and say amen. Amen. It's good to say amen in church, all right? One of the few times a week we get to say amen like this, right? There are times I say it every now and then. I say amen. You know, every now and then I say it. It slips out. It's not really a slip. Just being honest. But in verse 17 through 19 now, I want to take you further in this passage, and I want to take you into new territory. Are you ready? Are you ready to take the ride? You need to be ready. Amen. Okay, put on your seatbelts. Here we go. Put on your seatbelts. Put them click. Make it click. Go ahead. Make it click. You're in church. It's okay to participate. Make it click. Thank you. I want you to see something in verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I looked at that phrase, and for years I literally relegated it to have something to do with when I initially got saved. I kind of looked at it and said, okay, that's when I got saved originally. I mean, I was there when I got saved. I should know, right? Yeah, a lot of those things are true, but the way I looked at that passage was not true. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did indeed take up his habitation in our lives on the day that we were converted. That's true. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I was there. You were there when you got saved, right? Yes. Praise the Lord for that. But what the Bible is talking about and referring to here is something far more substantial. I need to qualify that again. It was substantial to see a sinner saved. Amen? But what is happening here in this text moves us beyond only being saved to being coming people whom Jesus feels at home with. That's different. You see, when I got saved, Jesus took up his habitation in me. When we understand this verse correctly, we understand that Jesus not only took up habitation in us as believers, but he desires to be at home. He wants you to be that dwelling place for him. I every now and then I see on people's porches a welcome mat. And it's surprising. It's incredible. You're never really welcome, though the welcome mat is there. It's a queer thing. I mean, it really is weird sometimes when you think about it. I know we put the mat out there for tradition purposes. I get it. But when we talk about Jesus dwelling in a life, we're talking about having a fellowship with him that is constantly getting deeper. Amen. And deeper. And yet more deeper. Jesus doesn't desire to live on the shallows of your and my experience. He wants to go all the way into an experience with you. How honored we are that God would want to do that. How precious it is that God would see fit to include such a thing in his plan. How blessed are we that God would want that. And so the idea then is that Jesus Christ might become at home in your and my lives. He might become the very center of attention in our lives. our lives will become one that rotates around him and he not, and us not, excuse me, and it. I'll get it right in a minute. And we'll not refer to him as being one who rotates around our lives. We will rightly see ourselves as servants to him and acknowledge that he is Lord, and we'll not anymore expect him to be servants to us. Amen. Believing ourselves to be lords. Boy, there's a lot of preaching territory right there. The idea of Jesus being at home in us. My goodness, what a thought. Let me put it another way. Can Jesus come home with you this afternoon? Can he do that? Can Jesus come home with you this afternoon? Would he be comfortable in your place? Would you have to make special accommodations for Jesus is coming over? Would the welcome mat still be out? Would we have to hide some things in the closet? Would we have to exercise a little bit more elbow grease and make sure that everything is polished? After all, you know, Jesus is coming over. Would our book selections be the same? After all, we're trying to accommodate Jesus coming over, and we don't want anything that we read to be offensive to him. What our movie watching, hey, Jesus, come on, have a seat over here on the couch, and we're going to watch a movie. Would our movie selection change because Jesus is all of a sudden with us? You see, Jesus coming home to us sounds good in a spiritual idea, but in the practicality of life, it matters. You see, Jesus lives in every believer, but is Jesus at home in you and me? Jesus could go to Mary and Lazarus's household, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' household in Bethany, and Jesus could find their food to eat. Jesus could find their opportunity to relax and be at home among his people. Yes. Would he likewise be at home at your place? You say, Brother McCray, I didn't come for you to be meddling in my business. I didn't. I'm just reading it. That's all I've done. I've applied it to some degree to help us see just how deep this fellowship with Christ should be. It's not a matter of a shallow thing. Oh, I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior back in 1990. What difference has he made since he moved in? And the one thing he's really after is manifesting the love of God in your and my lives toward each other. Jesus can't be at home in you and me when we have something greater than he is in our hearts. We can quote the verse as many times as we want to, but the truth of the matter is we have to deal with the stuff that's ruling us, that's taking lordship over us. We have to deal with that stuff because Jesus is not Lord if he is not Lord of all. Say, Brother McCray, that's a little bit uncomfortable. Join the club. Yeah. I'm being as transparent as I know how to be. And I'm being as honest with this passage as God wants to be with us. You see, the Lord Jesus is not merely dwelling in your and my lives. He's dwelling in us by faith. In other words, we will not see him come down from heaven and take up a place in our lives, but there is something called the throne of your life. Who's on it? Who's on that throne? You see, there's something in every one of us that wants for us to be on that throne. Well, it's my life. I pay the bills around here, so I should be on that throne. Wait a minute. You trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and Jesus, being a gentleman, is waiting for you to, by faith, say, okay, Lord, here is the throne of my life, a throne that is reserved for you and you alone. I give you permission, and I acknowledge you and you alone as the one who deserves to be on that throne. There is nothing in me, there is nothing in my heart, there is nothing in my life to rival your being on that throne. Jesus, that throne is yours exclusively. Do with me whatever you want to do. I live for your honor. I live for your glory. I live to make you lifted up. I live for your praise. I live to make much of you. You do from the throne of my life what you see fit to do. Isn't our prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Don't we pray that? Do we mean it? How is God's will going to be done on earth in the area that you influence? How is it going to be done in that area except through you? So there can be nothing in the heart that rivals Christ being seated on that throne. Christ being at home in our lives. You say, well, there is something in my life right now called resentment. Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. Put on the brakes. There is something in my heart right now called unforgiveness. Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. Put on the brakes. There's something in my heart called anger. Whoa, 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 stop. Full stop. It does not deserve to be there. You say, well, I got justification for it. I'm afraid that your flaky justification says nothing in the face of that throne belonging to Jesus Christ. You need to step down and let him take his rightful place in your life. You will only know the benefits and the growth and the graduation and the advancement that comes when Christ is rightly situated in your and my experience. Amen. Amen. And amen. The Bible didn't stop there, as if God had not made his point already. He goes on to say something like this in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, being rooted in love? Whoa, whoa, whoa. We move now from this idea of him being at home and ever deepening fellowship, we move now to this place where we're situated and we're nourished and we're supported and we are stabilized because we're rooted in this love of God, this love of Christ. It's how we roll, it's how we function. is how we maneuver in life. I'll love you to death. Amen. Loving you is my go-to. Amen. Boy, the preaching is all over this passage. Do you see it? If you had half a preacher this morning, my soul, you get preached at. You'd be happy. But rooted. My nourishment comes from Christ. My sense of stability comes from Christ. This idea that I am supported comes from Christ. Where do you look for these kind of things? Do we go somewhere else to find it? Or do we look to Christ to provide it? Watch this. It's specifically His love. Amen. Let me put it another way. Have you ever tried to encourage someone else only to be encouraged? Yeah, you've had that happen, huh? Yeah, amen, that's how it goes. You see, you set out, the love of God in you, you set out to serve someone else by encouraging them. This person needs encouragement. This person needs a fellowship. This person needs that, and the other. And we set out, we pick it upon ourselves. This is God's will. This is God's plan. This is what He would have me to do. I sense the Spirit of God is leading me in this direction. And so we set out to be an encouragement. We set out to be a blessing to that individual. And in the process of us trying to be a blessing to them, we get blessed in the process. Well, pray tell, that's not how it's supposed to work. Sister, I'm supposed to be encouraging you. Stop it. Listen and let me encourage you, right? Sometimes it's surprising. But just as you dedicated yourself to be used of God to be an encouragement to someone else, you find that God also was speaking to their heart, and God is using them to encourage you. And sometimes it's just simply needing to hear you say it. Needing to hear you verbalize it. And somehow or another, God takes us saying it to fortify us and reinforce our convictions about it. You've had this happen. Good. Good. I'm not the only one, right? Amen. But beloved, God wants us to be rooted in the love of Christ. The Bible gives some commentary on this very notion that we're to be rooted in Christ, and it gives us some idea as to what that might mean and what it might consist of. In Psalm chapter 1, listen to the first verse in that first division of the Psalms. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Did you see that? The idea is to be planted and to be rooted and grounded in God in such a way that we draw nourishment from Him, and that we are stabilized by Him, and we are given the idea that we are supported by Him. He's standing behind us in the endeavor, and then there's a sense that we can do what He is requiring of us because He is standing behind us. Well, that's a win-win. Amen. If God is going to support me, if God is going to nourish me, if God is going to give me what I need as I need it, then it's incumbent upon me to be obedient. So when God wants me to forgive somebody, I can. Amen. When God wants me to get over my hatred, I can. I can do all things through Christ, which, watch the wording, strengtheneth me. Amen. Amen. And amen. So we see then this idea of being nourished, supported, and stabilize in the love of God. If I could go one step further and say this also, in a common modern vernacular, if the love of God is our go-to, if it is the thing that we capitulate to first, then, beloved, you will never go wrong in most of your dealings. In most of your interactions, if you capitulate first to the love of God, you will find it's always applicable. But what is your go-to? You know, what is the thing that you go to first? What's your go-to? That tells us a lot about where we are. Amen. And we wonder sometimes, why can't the love of God be manifested in and with and through me? Can Christ dwell in you? Are you and I rooted? And here's the next word. You were looking forward to it. Grounded. Grounded. You see it there in verse 17. Rooted and grounded in love. Amen? Everybody all right? We're doing all right? Okay. There's more to this sermon, right? God help us. Grounded. Here we deal with the idea of a foundation. When we dealt with dwelling, where we're talking about deepening, ever deepening fellowship. Rooted, we were talking about being nourished, supported, and stabilized by the love of Christ. And here, grounded, dealing with the foundations. The foundation, the very best foundation for any of God's people, right? Now watch it. When we talk about grounding, we're literally talking about foundations. Okay, let me come back to that. I was reading the other day, it was a couple of weeks ago now, and I ran across this story told by Dr. Wiersbe. He conveyed that in his ministry, he had built two churches from the ground up, built, literally two church buildings. And in the process of the second experience, he found that the men in the church were continually getting ground samples and dirt samples, and they were building over what was once a riverbed. And so they had to constantly get foundational samples to verify exactly where that foundation was. And so he got a little bit anxious with the architect at that time. And he straight up asked him, why can't we just start building the building? What is it with all this ground samples? We've spent thousands of dollars in ground samples. What are we doing here? And the architect basically said, sir, pastor, we can't go high until we have made sure that the foundation is solid. You can only build up when the foundation is solid. He said, forever after that, that conversation was a sermon to him. I seem to recall the Lord Jesus putting a lot of emphasis on foundations. I mean, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and then finally chapter 7, he gives the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, right? And at the end of chapter number 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about foundations. There was a guy who built his foundation, and he didn't dig deep enough. And when the winds came and the floods came, great was the fall of that house. Then there was the guy who built his house and dug deep. He kept digging deep, and he dug deep to get to a solid rock foundation. And then he would build the house. Well, as with the first person, the rains came, the floods came, and that house was able to withstand that storm because it was founded on the right foundation. There's a lot of foundations that you and I can build ourselves on, amen? And unfortunately, many people will be fooled by it. But when the trials of life come, the facade comes off, the fakes are manifested. But when a person who is founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and that is their foundation, you can mark it down. The rains may come. The storms may ensue. They may have problems and difficulties and trials in life. But mark it down, beloved. They will not fall.
Amen.
They'll be stable. They'll be strong. And they're able to go upward in the Lord because the foundation is the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You say, Brother McCray, I don't know about this love of God stuff. The Bible says, again, being rooted and grounded, watch that next phrase, in love. Amen. Amen. Boy, I can see it now. You're excited about that. I can see it. I see it on your faces. You're excited about that. Sign me up. No, there's a reluctance in all of us. I get it. I've been there. I struggled with a few things just this week, where I wanted to assume the throne of my heart just long enough to give them a piece of my mind. You can see some of that still in there. Yeah. But don't do it. Listen to me. Christ dwelling in you and me means it's in your inner man, your mind, your emotions, and your will. All of those things is where God will rule and reign from in your experience. And if we give him reins to all of those areas of our lives, of our inner man, then he rules there, and it automatically excludes some things. But it also includes some things. Amen? You say, well, Brother McCray, what does it include? I'm glad you asked. You always ask the best questions. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It includes some of these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 7. That's where verse number 4 is where we'll begin, okay? I wish I could cover it all. Now, this is a passage that is commonly quoted in marriage ceremonies. That's a good place for it. But I remind you that God said this to a church, the church at Corinth, and God was trying to build unity in that church. We can relate, right? 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4 says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." That's what the love of God looks like in a church. That's what it looks like in interacting with the saints of God. That's what it looks like. Say, "Brother McCray, I need to study that a little bit differently." Go ahead. It'll only help. Amen. Boy, there could be more time spent there, but I need to hurry because time does not wait on anybody. Dwelling, rooted, grounded, and I'm going to summarize the rest of this in hurry here by saying experiential. Experiential. Look at verse 18. Okay? "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Did you see that? Interesting, isn't it? Experiential. The whole reason for us being rooted and grounded and Christ indwelling us is that we might experience personally and with respect to each other the love of God. God says you can know this. Look at verse number 18 again. "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." Did you catch the oxymoron there? It's built in. The love of Christ can be known and experienced, there's the word, but even as you're experiencing the love of God, there will be a part of you that says, "Man, it almost seems like I was operating outside of myself and God was doing it." Yeah, that's what you want. You see, growth is not confined to what you and I can perceive for ourselves. It goes far beyond that. And listen, if you're going to function with the love of God as your go-to, then, beloved, it's going to take some growth for some of us. I said it, including me. Yeah, I said it. It's going to take some growth. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. I was laughing with Brother Bowling the other day about seats and pew assignments. There are no pew assignments, right? But you always ask, whenever you go to a church, my experience, if the seat is taken, even though the person is not there yet. I've learned to ask that question, right? I've altered my behavior based on being in the wrong seat too many times. And you know, Baptists will walk up to you and say, hey, you're in my seat. It has nothing to do with you being the guest speaker or not. You're in my seat. Get up, buddy. Get out of here. Right? Say, Brother McCray, that's so petty. But would you imagine that is where some people are? They don't have enough of God's love in them to give up a seat even for one service. Come on with me, come on. I'm talking about where we actually are. There's a fantastic idea about the love of God. But where are we personally with regards to that? Well, I don't want people walking all over me, Brother McCray. I mean, shoot, if I forgive again, then they're going to think I'm just a doormat. Sounds like anybody? You know? I know, I get it. This is not easy stuff. I get it. But remember, here's the picture. You and I were already on our way to a devil's hell. That's where we were going. And God, in his grace and mercy, intervened through Jesus Christ on the cross. He died in our place, took responsibility for our sin. He was buried, and he rose again the third day so that you and I might be justified and identified with a true winner. He ascended back to heaven, and right now he is at the right hand of the Father. He gives us the authority and the power by his Spirit who is with us to literally, listen to me, beloved, to literally live out the life that he started. He even said that greater works will they do, will ye do. He even looked at the works that you and I would do as greater works than what he did. It seems to reason then that God has big plans for you and me. Amen. Beloved, we can't be stuck in our assumptions about anything. Amen. Growth will make you want to go back to what is familiar. You must resist that and go on with God into the unfamiliar. Because there is where you will learn more about the love of Christ. There is where you will become more rooted and grounded. You're the only one out there. In many instances, you're it. You're it. And God gives us the backbone. He stands behind us enough to enable us to stand against the tide and show the world what the love of God is really like. They have no clue as to what God is like. They have no idea as to what God is really like. And you and I get to be God's representatives by showing other believers and by testimony the rest of the world what God is really like. Amen. Boy, whew. You made it. Pat yourself on the back. You made it. But greater is our burden. Amen? I find that I need to get out of the way often so that God can do his thing. I tend to get in the way. I tend to get in the way, get in the way. And God says, Wayne, I cannot do what I want to do except you get out of the way. And so when every one of us, we need to say, here it is. Here's the throne of my heart, Lord. Here it is. Go ahead and ascend to that throne. Go ahead and take your rightful place, Lord, in my life on that throne. I yield my mind. I yield my emotions. I yield my will to you so that your will might be done, so that the brethren might know the love of God through their experiences, and that the world might know exactly what you are like and trust you too as their own personal Savior. Now, I need to read one more verse. Can I do that? Please? Can I do that? I know it's late. But you and I, we need to see this, right? Look at verse 18 again. May be able to comprehend. What's that next word? With. All the saints may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Did you get it? With all the saints. That means I cannot cloister or isolate myself in a situation and exemplify this. I can only do it with the saints. Amen. I need you. And believe it or not, you need me. Let me put it differently. We need each other. Amen. It is only with the saints that I can explore the immensity of God and yet not fully understand it all. Amen. You're getting it. Amen. I need to close. Man, I'm having too much fun. Some of you are too, I can tell. And that's okay, amen. The rest of us, we're catching up, though. In the throne of our lives, we readily yield it to Jesus Christ and his lordship. We want him to rule and reign there so that we are but servants of his, executing his will wherever he puts us, especially when we interact with the people of God. Hey, here's an idea. Watch this. Wouldn't it be great if somebody said, I must have been with God because I was with you? I now know what it's like to be with God, because I spent a little time with you. Amen. 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 Can I pray with you? Father, I've tried to do what you have commanded. And Lord, in my feeble way, I've tried to communicate to your precious people these ideas from your very word. Please ignite it
in each of our hearts who know you as Savior, Lord, and King. Father, help people today. There is a reluctance. There is a warfare happening in every heart. It is happening even right now. There's this idea that we know enough, we're smart enough, we can handle enough, we're experienced enough, we're deep enough that we can handle being on the throne of our lives. But help us, oh God, to yield that place to you so that we can feed others in our congregation, so that we can minister to others in our congregation. And the principal thing they will see is your love manifested through us. Father, help us. We want to be a testimony to this community. They need to know you. They should know you. They have a desperate need to be forgiven of their sin and received through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to not only tell them, but to live the truth also, that they can see for themselves and know for themselves exactly what you are like. Father, minister in hearts, minister in lives. Give us the courage, oh God, to yield, to give you the right of way, to choose you as the ruler of our very existence instead of ourselves. Oh God, please give us the courage to do that. And Father, if any know not Christ as Savior, please rescue them today. Save them by your infinite grace today. Speak to their hearts. Draw them unto yourself. Help them to respond in faith and trust, repenting of their sin and trusting Christ and Him alone as their very own Savior. Help them. Help them. Oh God, please help them to do that. We ask it in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed, I ask that you would quietly stand with me if you're able. The folk who are working with me this morning are coming right now, even. They're coming. They're on their way. But God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to you. You say, Brother McRae, you don't know the intricate details of my situation. And I say, God knows. God knows. You don't have to explain it to him. He already knows. But would you come and ask him for the help you need? There's a throne in your life. Only one person should be on that throne. His name is Jesus. Currently, you're on it. You need to step down. You need to step down. Please, go ahead, step down. And choose him to rule and reign in and over your life. Would you do it? Would you do it? Moving on in our invitation, perhaps you've never trusted Christ as your very own Savior. This is foreign. This is familiar in some ways, but still strange also. I want you to know, dear friend, you are among people who love the Lord and who love you. And so you're invited to come even right now. You say, before all these people, where their heads are bowed, their eyes are closed, they're trying to afford as much privacy as they can. But what I want you to do is just say, excuse me, step out from where you are. There are already folks standing by with the Bible to show you from the Bible how you too can trust Christ as your personal Savior. Come on. Come on.
Come on. It's okay. It's okay. There may be many places in your past where you can look to where there was rejection. God will not reject you today if you come to Him. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
That we have heard this morning, and Lord, help us, Lord, to reflect you to a lost and a dying world. Lord, help us to exemplify your name and your Son. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.